Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, and welcome to another exciting show of IFA Blog Talk Radio. We thank all of our callers for calling in tonight. We have such an exciting show for you this evening. First of all, let me begin to tell you who I am before I start on with the show, of course. See, I'm so excited. My name is Apete B, Ifadumade, or Omirelekun Ifalashe. And tonight, again, is going to be a wonderful show. We will be talking about the importance of our ancestors via the Ifa. We are exceptionally, we apologize so much to all of our listeners. We hope that you okay, thank you very much for being on the air. We do apologize. We have been having some technical difficulties. And we are about to embark on an exciting show. I'm your host, Omirelekun Ifalashe. And we will be discussing the importance of ancestor veneration and the importance of why we need to connect with our ancestors on this show. And we will be also exploring the different ways in which we elevate our ancestors in this day and time through the Ifa system. Again, we do apologize for the technical difficulties. And so myself and the Babalawo will be, again, discussing the importance of ancestor veneration this evening. And we do hope that if anybody has any questions or even share your experiences, you may call in at the number 347-637-2232. So we'll begin by opening up with a prayer.
I would walk away feeling powerful, calm,
talk about. You know, that's just the thing that kind of what is talking about. What is the good ancestors that have powerful words because there's an ancestor that made foundation, platform for every human being that comes to this planet to walk on. And so, the ancestors, or as the Yoruba would say, or here in the diaspora, we would say, if you're going to break this term down, well, we know that all civilized people, if you are an organized society or an organized community, and you have this class of people, you have intellectual, capital, spiritual people, workers, you have the different class. It should be some worship if you have an organized community that's been organized for some hundred years. Because those people that passed on, their ancestors that still dwell in that community. The spirit still walks that community. And so, in every passion time for the ancestors, we started to see. We had the vision of how that community was going to be structured, laid out, to honor those people. So every community should have ancestors. When you go to a library, you see that library is named after something.
With their glamour.
they're marvelous colors, very elaborate. And they perform in such a marvelous way that, you know, the people catch the eye and you hear the eye when people see a woman perform. And they move, their movement. And so the Egungun Society, they are the custodians of the tradition of Egungun. So we have to be Egungun Society to make sure that all the rites and rituals before the Egungun come, all the rituals, before the Egungun can come and walk the earth. They should have fought this. Maybe Abalawo, that's a part of it, that specifically does all of this for us. The rituals, that's the main point, like the rituals are done before the Egungun can even walk the earth. It's very important. Very important that open the way, open the door, open that portal for the ancestors. Thank you. About it. I got it. The Egungun. It's known as a spirit that embodies that sacred cloth. That cloth is very powerful. Egungun came out doing this. You know, those are things that, you know, we have to be doing. You know, that we'll be dealing with that. Those who are not initiated, you know, so it's very important the initiates maintain those traditions amongst the Egungun Society.
Okay, and so we do welcome everybody for tuning in to tonight's show. And if you would like to call in, you may do so at 347-637-2232. And we will be discussing more in depth and more further into the importance of venerating our ancestors. Most people these days don't really have, or some people may not have, a in-depth awareness of who our ancestors are. And so that's what we'll be touching in or touching on tonight's show, is who our ancestors are and the ways in which we can venerate them, the ways that we can connect with them. Because once we connect with our ancestors, they actually are able to help to elevate us in our day-to-day way of life. So can you explore for a person that's beginning to learn about ancestors, who our ancestors are and ancestor veneration, what are the types of, how would one start with venerating their ancestors or investigating more into their ancestors?
One way that we can start venerating our ancestors, I said it a little early, is either through special memorial days, and, you know, people do that. We can venerate our ancestors through public statues, portraits, songs, and prayers. But for your personal ancestors, one of the ways you can honor them is by setting up a ancestral shrine. If you have a land, you can build
a structure to set up your ancestor shrine in. If you don't, and you live in an apartment or you live in a house and you don't have much land, you can designate an area within your home for setting up that shrine. And what we usually use to set up that shrine is we use 9 glasses of water. And the number 9 in itself is 9 is the number of the Orisha or Yah, who is the mother of the Igungun. So 9 shows the influence of our Yah when dealing with the ancestors. So we set up 9 glasses of water. And the first thing we do is we take chalk, Efrun, and we find a corner in the house that's where the two walls meet together. And we draw a line on the floor from one end to the next. And then we mark 9 lines on that chalk, glass of water on those lines. Okay. And then we use candlelight or some form of light so that when the ancestors come, that they know where they're coming to. They can see. So that light represents that. Then you have your family portrait. You have a portrait or portraits of deceased family members, either on your mother's side or your father's side. But you have portraits of a great-great-grandmother or your great-great-grandfather. You set that on the ancestor shrine. Next thing you want to do is you want to write a list of all the deceased members of your family on your mother's and your father's side that you can remember. And you write them down on separate sheets of paper, because when you set up those shrines that represent your mother and your father's side, there really should be separate shrines. Should be separate shrines for your mother and your father. So you write a list of names of all the deceased members on your mother's side, and you write all the deceased people that you can remember on your father's side. And what you can do is you can frame that paper that you wrote all those names on. You can frame it. You can leave that on the ancestor shrine. Okay? You can get a vase and put flowers in that vase and have flowers on that shrine. You can have coffee grinds. You can have tobacco. You can have cigars. You can have various liquors or wine set on that shrine. You can have family heirlooms, if you have any. You can set that on a shrine. Anything that's going to draw those ancestors close, you know, that shrine is your vocal point to commune with your ancestors. And then last but not least, what we usually do as ancestor priests is we consecrate a ancestral staff called Opa Egungun. Or in the diaspora, they call it Opa Egungun. And that cloth is decorated with 9 multicolored cloths. And once the cloth is on there, you add chiming instruments. And if there's any other thing that you can think of, you can put little tiny little circle mirrors you can put on that staff. You can put glitter on it. Anything, you know, that your spirit tells you to put on there or to decorate it more, you can do that. And once you got it set up, then you seek a priest that can show you how to open or do an open prayer, you know, for the ancestors. So those are ways that you can honor your ancestors, your on a personal level within your household, your lineage.
Another way that you can honor your ancestors is by one of the ways in which the Babalawo gave an example of was on the floor with the chalk. Another way is by actually having a table set up in your home, not where you sleep, but in a secluded area where there's not much traffic. You may have a table, white cloth, a 7-day candle, pictures of deceased family members again, or even if you don't have pictures, you can have, you know, you can write out the names of your deceased family members, you know, good people that transitioned. And also you can have, again, 9 glasses of water. You may have a staff. You may have, again, anything that you can think of that those ancestors liked during their times when they were living. But the whole point is to connect with your ancestors, which is a very good thing. And you're, by connecting with them, you're appeasing them. You're appeasing them the same way how you have to appease your family members in your family now, you know, is just the same thing that you have to do with those that have passed on. And by appeasing them, you are giving them positive light, positive energy, and then they, in return, give the same back to you. And since they have passed on, they're, you know, in a more higher state than us, so they're able to perhaps see a little further ahead than us in our day-to-day circumstances. So by giving them energy, in return, they're giving you energy. And so, and also it's very important to, you know, just remember those that existed before us, because if it wasn't for them, we would not be present today. And like the Awo said, or the Babalawo said at the beginning, I'm not quite sure if listeners heard because of the technical difficulties. basically, you know, you have statues, you have people that honor their ancestors through the library system, and them through statutes. You know, if you go to different countries, even in the United States, there are many statues of people, such as Abraham Lincoln, for those that venerate him, Martin Luther King. There are so many different statues of our ancestors, you know. So by you practicing elevating your personal ancestors, it's actually strengthening you and all of your family members in your bloodline. Now, we have, there is a system through the IFA system that people would take in order to elevate their ancestors. Now, the first step would be to seek what we call a roots divination. And through roots divination, that's when the investigation begins. You know, what we have to realize for all people, for all humankind, you know, our ancestors have been through something. And so when you get a roots reading, you are able to see or what type of people, who they were. And you're able to see how your bloodline lived during that time and how it relates to you and your family now. And so there's a lot of spiritual things that we're not aware of what took place during their time as well as our time now. And so by having a roots divination, you're actually realigning, coming to a better awareness of who you are as an individual. And so it's very important to seek a root ancestor divination if you're a beginner in seeking or learning more about who your ancestors are and how they lived and so forth. Most people these days, we have people go to ancestry.com to get you know, a genetical DNA investigation of who their ancestors were, and that's okay. You know, that's okay to do that. However, through the IFA system, you are actually doing a spiritual investigation as to who your ancestors are and were. And I think the Babalawa wants to explore more on that subject. Onto him. Again, if anybody wants to call in with any questions, you may do so at the call in number is 347-637-2232. And please do call in with your questions or concerns or even your experiences.
Okay, I do play a PTD. The DNA test, you know, a lot of people, they're getting those tests, DNA tests, to find out where their ancestors were from. But personally, what I'm noticing when I talk to people who've gotten those DNA tests, you know, their ancestors, they break it down and say, well, you had ancestors here, 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 and here. But it's really not pinpointing where their ancestors are actually from. Because we got to understand, during slavery, we mixed in with other Africans from other countries within Africa. We mixed in. And so, you know, we have a lot of mixing amongst the Africans from different tribes, or if you want to call it that. And so through the Ifa system of a root reading, or Ipile Ifa, you will find out where your ancestors are exactly from, like where your those ancestors, dominant ancestors, are really from. You know, you'll find that out through the roots reading. And then from there, you can begin the journey of honoring those ancestors. You know, I want to go into more on Egungun, because it's very important to understand how our ancestors and our people at home are still, and here, is honoring Egungun. Because Egungun is the, when you bring out Egungun, that's one of the highest forms of ancestor worship. Is when you can bring out your family Egungun. That means you've done reached that high level of ancestor worship. The ancestors recognize you now. And so Egungun, when the Egungun come, you know, the Egungun come wearing elaborate costumes, you know, crowned with marvelous carved masks, who represents ancestors' return from the spirit world to hear and put right complaints of their descendants on earth. The Egungun come to bless their families with fertility and general prosperity. Okay. So you have your, as the Apete B says, you have your personal Egungun. You have your personal Egungun, which is your family ancestors, and then you have your national Egungun, in which the community bring out their community heroes in the form of Egungun. So they're bringing the spirit out of that particular hero, and the spirit is housed in the masquerade, which is Egungun. That's how it becomes Egungun, is when the spirit can be housed in that elaborate costume, that powerful cloth, then it becomes Egungun.
And then we give, you're talking about national Egungun. So your national Egungun are people like Can you give us an example?
You know, you have, you know, Malcolm X, Martin Luther. These are heroes that we have not gotten to the level of bringing a gungun out for them yet. But they can be a gungun because they can be national a gunguns because when they were on Earth, you know, they fought for the people. You know, they wanted certain rights for the people. And so the community came together and said, okay, we want to talk to the ancestral society about bringing the spirit out in the form of a gungun for Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, then that can be done, you know, or even other heroes that we know, you know. And so by bringing those a gungun out, we're honoring the spirit and the works that they did on Earth. And so we're asking them, you know, now that you're on the other side, that you're in the spirit realm, we want you to continue to do the work that you've done and help us out on that end. We want you to help us out in the spirit realm. Now you're more powerful. Help us out in the spirit realm. Help us out. We need rights in this physical realm. We're fighting against this. We're still fighting against the system. We call on the spirit of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. You know, please help us fight for reparations. You see, all of those things can be done.
Well, as well as that, ancestor veneration or dinner with your ancestors or a gungun is nothing. This is not something that's new at all. This is something that's been, it's traditional. It's been something that has been practiced for thousands and thousands and generations, you know, way ahead, back of us, you know, behind us. So, you know, even down to like the, you know, you have different other nationalities or races that do this, like the Chinese, they bring out their forms of a gungun and so forth. So this is nothing new. It's just that, you know, there've been, you know, that we've been saturated with different cults, different religions, which has helped to stray us away from our original traditions and customs. And so it's very interesting how you're bringing up about, you know, a gungun, our personal a gungun, which we should deal with first, right? Okay? Because even, you know, there's been debate, you know, about honoring your own personal ancestors versus honoring different vagrant spirits. You know, there are, you know, some people that deal with other spirits, right? And what would that be called?
When you have your personal ancestors versus spirits that are vagrant or they're roaming spirits, those roaming spirits are, those can be spirits or some people call them egun. They're not fully elevated to the level of a gungun. When we talk about a gungun, we're talking about a spirit that went through all the rites and rituals. When that particular person crossed over, their family made all the rites and rituals so that they can reach their destination in heaven or in Mikole Orun. And so they reach that level. The family have done all the ebbs. And so the spiritual work for that energy to make it back home. Once that spirit makes it back home, do all the lighting ceremonies and everything and all the spiritual work that needs to be done for that spirit to make it to its destination. Once that spirit makes it to its destination, it begins the elevation process or the rebirth process in that realm. And so that, and when that ancestor is ready to return to the earth as a gungun, it's an elevated spirit. Now, you have egrons or spirits that just roam the earth, that don't have nowhere to go. Those are like vagrant spirits. They haven't had any work done. Those are spirits that have, when they were on this side, they've committed suicide, they've committed murder, they've done a lot of negative. And so they weren't able to go further. When they crossed over, they didn't go far. Their spirits still stay here. They don't know where they at. They're wandering. They're wandering souls. You've hear the terms, wandering spirits or wandering souls. You know, ghost. You know, you hear all of those terms, and those things are real. We have to understand there's more spirits on this earth than there are living people. They're waiting to be elevated, but people have forgotten about them. People have forgotten, or people don't even give them positive energy to elevate them. Even if they remember them, they remember the negative things that they did. So they're not being elevated. They're roaming spirits, and those spirits latch on to people.
When a person comes for a roots divination, like, is it basically everybody? We want everyone to know, and we thank you again, all of you, for tuning in tonight. Again, if you have any questions, you can call in at 347-637-2232. We do have a question online with Miss Perkins. Thank you very much for placing your questions in the forum. We will answer your question shortly. But just to put this thought out, you know, everybody has the right to, you know, it doesn't matter what you're in, what religion you're in, whatever you practice, everybody has that birthright to honor and venerate and know who their ancestors are. This isn't just something that is just designated to African Americans, whatever you are, you know, everybody has that right to know who their ancestors are and practice remembering them and venerating them and appeasing them by giving them offerings and, you know, energy, time, and incense and talk to them, you know. So if anytime you're confronted by somebody and they're like, you know, because we've had where people are like, well, you know, my parents don't understand me venerating my ancestors, you know, they don't like me honoring the dead, so to speak, or, you know, well, that's not factual information, because people honor their ancestors every day. And, you know, like, even if you go to the graveyard, you know, you place flowers on the grave, you know, that's a part of form of honoring your ancestors. Just by thinking about your great-grandmother is honoring your ancestors, you know, just by talking about your ancestors is honoring them and remembering them and keeping them alive, especially if they were great people. And so there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, that's something that, again, what you were saying, that's something that they want done, you know. And so we have to, it's tradition for us to do this, and it's a very important aspect to do it. So when you come to the system of Ifa, the ancestors speak even through the system of Ifa. And so one of the steps is doing a roots divination. Again, you find out who your ancestors were, what part of the continent they were from, you know, how they lived, and so forth. And so, you know, you maybe, when you come for a roots divination, you find out as well that is you, the one that has to restore back the traditions and customs back into your family lineage. And so it's quite a big responsibility for the individual when they find out, but then it's also a rewarding one, because you are the one that has to bring the family back together, because, again, these days people's families are very much scattered. You know, and so it's our responsibility to realign the family, and then it's our responsibility to maintain the traditions and customs so that our children can practice these traditions, and then they don't get lost into the world, you know, or consumed into the negative aspect of the world. You know, they have discipline and so forth. And so even when you have your shrine set up, include your children in and get them involved, you know, include the family, change, let your children change the waters, you know, just little things like that. Those are the things that will help, you know, in it may seem like little things, but it actually turns out to become big things, you know, in the long run. So the question that Ms. Perkins had was, if you are using a candle on your ancestral altar, do you light it?
When do you light the candle on your ancestral shrine is, if you don't have a shrine set up yet and you're in the beginning phase of setting that ancestral shrine up, once the shrine is set up, you can go ahead on and light the candle. I always tell people to be cautious if you're doing it in your house. Just be very cautious and aware of, you know, that candle, because, you know, there have been incidents where, you know, people's rugs and things caught on fire. So you just want to be extra careful. One of the things that, you know, I always do when I put a candle on my ancestral shrine, if I'm putting a 7-day candle, you know, I get a glass bowl and I fill it up with water and I stick the candle, the 7-day candle, inside that glass bowl of water, and I light that candle, you know. And that's just for safety reasons. But, you know, you can keep light burning as much as you want to, as long as you want to, on your ancestral shrine. There's not a rule against that. You can keep them burning. But as soon as you set your shrine up and you have it well organized and everything, you can go ahead on and you can light the candle and begin your prayers and your meditation at your, you know, shrine. Further into speaking on Egungun, as the Apete B was saying, is that, you know, we all, as a people, should by ancestors, because they are the ones that are with us. They are the ones that walk with us. They're your family members. They're in your blood. It's genetics, you know. So when you worship your ancestors and you're elevating your ancestors, you're elevating yourself as well, you know. You are your ancestors. Your ancestors are you. And so when everything that you're doing to remember them, to venerate them, you're doing it for your elevation. And so Yegungun is regarded as collective spirits of the ancestors, of the spirit realm who occupy space in heaven. Hence, they are called Arao-Run in the Yoruba term. And Arao-Run means dwellers of heaven. And these ancestral spirits are believed to be in constant watch of their survivors on earth. So your ancestors are always watching you. You know, they're the ones that make sure that, and when they come in the form of a gungo and they sit and commune with the family, it is the Egungos that say, you know, make sure that the children in the family keep good character. Make sure that their behavior is well, because the ancestors are concerned with those things. They're concerned with our behavior. They're concerned with our character, because you're not just representing yourself, representing them as well. So if you embarrass yourself, you're not just embarrassing yourself, you're embarrassing your ancestors as well. And so the ancestors, they're more focused on their survivors on earth. They're more concerned with their moral character, their ethics, you know, the decisions that you make, rights and wrongs, and, you know, and all of those, you know, moral and ethics, you know, within your community and your approach and how you stand out amongst your community. Ancestors are concerned with those things. They're more concerned with, you know, your behavior and how you present yourself, because you're representing them. You know, we live in a society where it's a me and it's a I type attitude. Ancients, they always said we. They always said we. It was always not just you. It was a we thing. And so we have to remember that. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you're going out to do whatever you do, you're stepping out. You're going to do whatever you do. You're representing your ancestors and representing yourself as well. But you're representing your ancestors. So if we all can remember that when we get up in the morning and we go out the door and we're going to conduct business or whatever we're going to do, carrying our ancestors are walking with us. So if you're someone approach you and they're trying to start an argument with you, how are you going to change that argument into something positive? Because if you can do that, then that's showing that your ancestors have taught you well. Your elders have taught you well. You know, this is why it's so important that we know our family traditions. What is your family traditions? What is your family taboos? You know, that's why, you know, when you get a roots reading, you get a name for your ancestors. You know, whether if you're from your father's side, then you're going to get a name. Whatever that old dude that came up and says that, wow, this is the character of this family. That's how now you have an identity. You have a family identity. And you can say, this is what my family were artists. My family were warriors. My family was royalty. You know, your family, now you know the family's character. A lot of people walk around and they don't even know their family's character. They don't know the traditions of their family. And so this is why people, you know, you see people, they walk around with certain sicknesses and things like that because they don't know the taboo of their family line. You know, your family could have been, your family lineage could have been ones who wasn't supposed to have a lot of sugar, a lot of sweets, or a lot of meat. They couldn't eat certain things. So those things are important that we know. What's the taboo of my family lineage on my father's side, on my mother's side, so that I can know what not to follow suit, so that I can restore the identity of my lineage. These are important. You know, we live in a world where there's so much imbalance. People don't know who they are. You know, people are pretending to be what they're not. They have no foundation. They have a foundation, but they just don't know it. They don't know how to work it. They don't know how to bring it together. And so, you know, those who have good ori, they say, wow, I want to know who I am. I want to know who my ancestors are. Let me go to Ifa. I heard about this thing called Ifa. Let me go find it. And I need to explore more. But once they get the root tree, they find out who they, what side of the family they from one, what ancestors vouch for them. You're always from your mother and your father's side, of course, but if you're from your father's side, that means that those ancestors on that side is more dominant in you. They're the ones that vouch more for you. And so once you find that information out, you know who you are. Because you can't elevate to your personal higher destiny until you can know your family destiny, you know, or your family's lineage or what lineage you're from. But once you find those things out, you have a, and you begin the works, you're strengthening the foundation of your ancestors. And so it's very important, very, very important that we keep pushing. And, you know, those who are listening, spread this information on to your neighbor. Spread it on to your friend. Spread it on to a young man or a young woman. You know, whisper it in the ears of the little babies so that they can, when they get older, they can continue, you know, following the customs. This is why we're doing what we're doing. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the future generations. Because things, the political systems and everything is falling apart. What are you going to rely on in the next 25 years? You got to maintain your identity. You got to maintain your family. Your family has got to survive. How are they going to survive? They got to know who they are. When you know who you are, you can survive. When you know where you're from, when you know the tree that you're from, you can survive. One of the most powerful things that the ancestors want from us is family unity. You know, you hear of families fighting each other, or you might have a family member who makes it big in the industry of whatever, and he got a lot of money, and then the family members want to sue him, or they want to get some of the money. You know, then the family fall apart because of material things. That means the foundation of that family is weak. They're basing everything on materialism. So they're not going to, in the long run, they won't survive because they base everything on materialism. Rather than sticking together. This is why a lot of families in those ancient times had family businesses. Whatever happened to the family businesses? They had them in the 40s and the 50s and even in the 60s. You know, they had family businesses. Those things fell apart. But what happened to the families working together? This is the will of the ancestors. This is what they want. They don't want the family to be scattered. They don't want the family fighting. All of those things is iwaburubu, what we call iwaburubu, bad character. Our ancestors want us to have iwapele, gentle character, iwarere, good character. Because once you establish that, it's easy for you to communicate with others. It's easier for you to deal with each other. So the ancestors are concerned with our character, our moral behaviors. And ancestors will support you when they see you doing good. When they see you trying to keep the family together, they'll support you. But you have to recognize them. You have to do things for them. So when you set up your ancestor shrine, you're not just setting it up for you. You're setting it up for your whole family. Some families, you know, some people, you know, they come and they set up their ancestor shrine and, you know, some of their family members may not understand it. You know, they may think they're doing something wicked or some, you know, some what they call black magic or something. But no, it's they're going to get blessings from that as well. Just by you on the individual level saying, I'm going to set up an ancestor shrine to represent my mother. I'm going to set up a shrine to represent my father's side. You're going to get blessed. Your sister, your brother, your cousins, everybody are going to get blessed. Because that shrine represents them as well. You know, this is about bringing families back together. It's about marriages surviving. Whatever happened to marriages? Marriages don't even survive anymore. It may last a year, it may last less than a year. Why? Because there was no foundation on both ends, on the groom's or the bride's side. They didn't consult with their ancestors before they had the wedding. They didn't see if their ancestors was okay with it. They didn't have a marital reading to make sure that they're compatible, and even compatible with each other. These are traditions and rituals that, you know, we have to begin to implement more.
Again, if we do welcome people that our listeners to call in, we thank you for calling in, and we thank you for tuning in tonight. You can call in at 347-637-2232, or you can send us a question through the online chat room. You raised a very important view on or aspect related to ancestor veneration, and that was even with how marriages are put together and so forth. Can you expand more on that and the importance of, like, it's not just like now, you know, it's not just about just meeting somebody and you just like, okay, I like this person based because of their looks and so forth, and, you know, I feel like this is the right person. Yes, that does come into it. That's a natural human trait. That's what we do, you know, the law of attraction. However, there is other steps to consider, and that's because the consideration doesn't come into it because there's a lack of education. And so that's why we're doing this as well. We encourage our listeners to spread the word of EFA Global Block Talk Radio, as well as going onto the site, www.efaglobalsite.com, because these are actual platforms of education. You know, we are educating. We are doing many educational forums. You know, we're doing tours all over the different states and so forth. If you need us to come in and talk on these matters, please contact us as well. You can send us an email at info@efaglobalsite.com. Issues, things that need to be talked about, the educational aspect of things, of how customs or traditions or should be conducted, even so far as marriage, you know, which we're going to go into a bit more, and how ancestral involvement is has great influence on a man and a woman coming together, hence producing children. Ancestors have a great involvement with that, and again, that's why we encourage people doing more spiritual investigation by getting a divination done, because when you start with something like that, it can eliminate, you know, later on, it could just eliminate such, you know, what's the word I'm trying to get it out? You know, prevention is better than cure, so to speak. You know, once you do these types of investigations, you know, it would just be, you know, healthy in the long run, you know, to know, okay, would this be a good choice to make? You know, especially if it's a lifetime choice, you know, we need to be more spiritually invested, or invest more into our spirituality, because we're able to investigate, you know, what's going on now and what could happen down the line. Because especially when there's children involved, you know, we tend to just, you know, nowadays, you know, especially being young, you get involved in relationships, and then, you know, you may have children, and, you know, there's so many different aspects to investigate before it gets to that point. And so by us educating, you know, it is really important for us to, you know, educate each other and learn and be open-minded to learn, you know. So we're going to pass it on to the Babalawa to explore on those aspects relating to marriage and the importance of why ancestor investigation is important, especially dealing with, you know, marriage and getting involved in relationships.
Okay, yeah, Apetebi, she makes a very good point when she talks about how couples meet and the emotional attraction begins, because that's what it is. You know, when a man sees a beautiful woman, he gets automatically attracted and he wants to talk to her, see what she's about. And, you know, once that sparks, then it elevates to other things, or it may elevate to other things. And so the marital reading, what the marital reading does, it, through the marital reading, Ifai lets you know if you the couple is compatible, period. Can the bloodlines meet? You know, may not be able to. Ifai may say, well, this is not going to work. We can't go no further. You know, and it's up to the couple it's up to the couple's ori to make a decision if they're going to continue to still do it or not. But a lot of times we see, you know, in that type of situation, you know, people just meet on the emotional, lustful level, and then, you know, they decide to get married, and then, you know, they may have a child that's that have issues or may come into the world with, you know, some type of sickness or something. And so right then and there, it's like you didn't do the investigation before you all even decided to have a child or even to get married, because now you have to deal with a child that you have to help every day. And so to prevent those things from happening, because marriage, you know, amongst the Yoruba people, one of the main things about marriage is about having children, healthy children. But if you all are not compatible and you still have a child, then the child may come with a crippleness. Blood wasn't compatible. And so this is why we do marriage readings, to make sure the couples are compatible and that the ancestors on both sides agree. To make sure that they agree. And the ancestors are going to say, okay, this is a good couple. Yes, they're compatible. Child that they give birth to is going to be a very important child. It's going to have a very important destiny. Those are the things that you want to hear. But if the bloods are not compatible, you know, we wouldn't go no further. And that's just the reality. Some people can't accept that, and they do it anyway, because they're caught up into the emotional part of it. In the lustful aspect of it. And so, you know, these are the decisions that people, or we as human beings, we make. But there's something higher that you must consult to make sure that you're on the right path. Because sometimes the person we choose as our spouse, if we don't investigate, they can be an energy that come into your life to block you from moving forward. And that's real. That's why, you know, Yorubas believe in Ifa so much. Those Yorubas who follow the traditions of Ifa, that's why they believe in Ifa so much, because Ifa sees further ahead than we do. very important. You know, all that has to tie in with ancestor, the worship, because we have to remember when you bring a child into the world, that's an ancestor returning. That's an ancestor returning. And you have to make sure that when that child comes into the world, that the foundation, when that ancestor is returning to come back to this physical realm, you want to make sure that the foundation is firm, that the ancestor can return into this physical realm with a firm foundation.
At .com.
Super and Colette, may the ancestors continue to walk with you. May the ancestors continue to support you. And may the ancestors continue to bless you with general well-being and prosperity. Odaro.